You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
Here we are. Hey, it's Saturday. It is December. It is the 16th of 2007. And you are listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon from snowy St. Paul, Minnesota. And on the other end of the world is Mr. Ed Van Ness. Good.
Thank you for putting us into a time machine and sending us back to 2007. That was a pretty good year for me.
Oh, did I say you? Oh, my God.
I love getting that first screw-up out of the way early. Let's not wait. Let's not wait. There's no, we don't want to disappoint the listeners by having a flawless show. One of these days, kids and kittens, we're going to have a flawless show, both technically and talent-wise, and I promise you, it will not be intentional. It will not be for lack of trying on our part. But yes, and a good Saturday morning to everybody. We had a little cool air this week. It was wonderful here. We're warming back up today. I expect to have the air conditioner back on at home tomorrow, So, for all of you chattering your teeth and freezing your tuchus off, suck it, kittens.
Oh, my goodness. So, what's going on in your world this past week?
Oh, my. This week. This week has been, I don't know, it was kind of a mundane week. Not a very exciting week, to be quite honest with you. Nothing traumatic happened. I'd say the most exciting thing was that happened was I invested a couple of hours into the new studio, and actually there's a floor in there. I wasn't aware of it. Who knew?
Don't make me laugh like that. Oh my God. I'm already coughing on myself.
So I've got things basically set up. I still have some things to move out. I realize I have to get some kind of soundproofing for one wall, because that's the common wall it shares with the laundry room next door. And so we're fully expecting, we've accepted the fact that by the new year, once everything gets kicking in the new year here at the new and improved Radio TFI, oh my goodness, boys and girls, do we have stuff planned for you for the new year. We're just kind of basically fake our way through the next couple of weeks, and but boy, oh boy, come 2018, there is all sorts of good stuff coming on. I can't talk about it right now. I have the family members being held hostage because I can't. Heaven forbid I should talk about it. But anyway, there's a lot of good stuff coming, and we will have one thing I can talk about. I promise you, as I sit here. As I sit here as Gil Christ as my savior, we will have proper communications. We will have a way for you folks to call in where both of us can talk to you, both of us can hear you, and all manner of things. So it's going to be pretty darn exciting. How about – go ahead.
You're starting to sound like it'll be beautiful.
Believe me. Believe me, everybody says it's the best looking studio you've ever seen. It's just going to be tremendous.
You know, I had kind of just an average week myself, to tell you the truth. I mean, everything just, but like the last couple of weeks, this just seemed like work. You know, normally I do this, you know, have driven cab for 34 years. I do it because I pretty much enjoy it. Far for me to do a job that I don't like, you know. But oh, these last couple weeks have seemed like work, and I don't know if it's just because I'm getting in that habit now of getting up on my time, getting up at 4 o'clock. You know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I finish my last ride about 4:30 in the afternoon, and by the time I trudge home from that, it's getting to be 5 o'clock. It's dark outside. Oh man, I tell you, it's just seeming to get like to be like work now. You know,
is it a grind? Would it be fair to say that?
Yeah, no, it is. And the other thing is too is that yesterday I did like 18 rides. Now, to the average Uber driver, would say 18 rides, man. Oh, that's nothing. Well, you got to realize in 18 rides, you know.
I know. Please, now you're just gonna make me cry now.
In 18 rides, I'm averaging on the averaging about $10, $12
a ride.
Oh shit! I'm talking about at least $17 to $20 a ride.
I hate you.
And I'm sorry. And a lot of these rides are account rides. A lot of these rides are less standard taxi fare, but they're not stupid rates like Uber.
No. Speaking of, I
have a lease to pay for and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I can't complain. You know, everybody's gonna, you know, we're gonna have a decent Christmas around here. If you know what I mean.
Yay. Well, it's funny you should say that because I probably did yesterday about a dozen rides.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it was strictly on the app yesterday. I had no personal work, and these are the days that just, believe me, I almost didn't work yesterday at all because I knew I had nothing on the schedule, and it was just going to be, and it was exactly the drag that I knew it was going to be. I had a couple of decent rides back to back that
define decent rides though.
A decent ride was from Fort Lauderdale Beach to our biggest mall, which is the Sawgrass Mills Mall, which sits at the literally at the edge of civilization, on the edge of the Everglades Swamp. It's actually right by the hockey arena. There is nothing but Everglades beyond that. It's the edge of the populated area. It's about, I don't know, whatever it is. So I got a ride out there, and of course the mall is very popular. And then I got another, after I got a bite to eat, I got exactly the ride I was anticipating, which was another one back to the east side, which is where I live. So between the two rides, I got about $50. It would have been at least $100 in the cab.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It would have been at least $100. And those 18 ride days, I've had them. I had one this week. And you're barely able to scratch $120 out of it. And oh, by the way, you were gonna, today is pick the brain day.
Yeah. Let me get through a couple of headlines here and what have you. Maybe we pick up on a little bit of something like this. This is from the Uber world that I've picked up off the week. This one I found kind of amusing, and I talked about it a little bit with Christine Hubbard from Beck Taxi in Toronto, an Uber customer. 18. Oh, shut up. That's probably why she'll never come back on. She knows you're pervin' on her.
I'm not pervin' on her. I just think she's adorable and smart.
Well, yeah.
She's a very smart lady.
It shouldn't be a surprise to you. What, an adorable woman can't be smart?
No. I find her very attractive.
Come on.
I'm smitten with her. I'm not going to do anything about it. Okay. I can't go into Canada anyway. It's a long story.
Yeah. So an Uber charged a customer $18,000 for a 21-minute ride. Now, here's something that I didn't know. Apparently in Toronto, there are actually Uber-controlled taxis where the taxis actually have meters and what have you. I didn't know that, and I wish I'd have picked up on that more when I was talking to Christine. But what happens with an Uber taxi is basically the driver enters the amount of the fare into the app, and there is speculation that he might have went to try to enter something like $18 from his meter, and somehow whatever hit one too many zeros on it. So
what was the exact amount? Do you have it there? Or?
Was 18,000 and some. It was something. I think it was 18,400 and something, if I'm not mistaken. But
because so it makes sense that that plays in if it's like $18.45,
or was eight.
Well, anyway, what you're talking about, it sounds like, was Uber Taxi, which was available in a few cities here in the U.S., most notably Chicago. It never really caught on, or Uber never pursued it.
Of course.
And essentially, it was going to be a flat fee to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, Uber decided they didn't want to do anything with it. The president of our company down here actively pursued Uber to do it. He wanted to be part of it initially. And they just never returned his phone calls. So,
Well, of course not, because it is a war literally against the taxi industry.
Well, this was early on. This was before it really became a battle.
Here we go. So, a couple's stolen car was found with Lyft stickers. Apparently, the thief put like 1,100 more miles on the car while he was operating as a Lyft driver. Right. So there's good background checking on your vehicle there, Lyft.
Well, you got to remember, you can sign on and say, "Yes, I'm driving a Chrysler Town and Country." Meanwhile, you're actually in a Toyota Corolla. Yeah, Lyft doesn't know what you're actually driving. It behooves the customer to check that out. And look, if you got a good line of BS, you pull up and say, "Oh, well, it says it's supposed to be a minivan. Well, it broke down. I'm using my cousin's car. Well, this is my other car."
So over in the UK, a third city now is blocking or refuse to relicense Uber, and that was York. Now, we've already got London, obviously, which are still they're still running in London.
Yeah.
But it escapes me who the other what the other city was in the UK, but now this makes the third.
I know what it is.
Okay, do tell.
It's Leicester.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Now spell it.
Well, I know that there's a C and an H in there somewhere, but
there's an E and an I in there too.
Jesus Christ.
Not what you think it would be. Anyway, it's like Worcester, Mass. It's spelled like a Worcester, but it's pronounced Worcester.
Okay.
Everything's silent.
Oh, exactly. Couple of good news stories here that I want to bring out. First off,
good news, yay!
Hats off to one of my old cab companies in Las Vegas. This particular company has really been stepping up here. During the horrible shooting back in back a couple months ago in Las Vegas, this company stepped up, offered free rides. They did not, and that's a no-no in Vegas because Vegas is so tightly regulated. You better not have a passenger in your back seat unless your meter's on. Otherwise, they consider you ripping off the company. But they did a toy drive where they collected 11 bikes, 23 helmets, 164 assorted toys, and what does it look like here? Just over $1,000 cash. And this was done by drivers and staff, and going on to a charity in Las Vegas. And I just think it's. I think that's a beautiful thing that they're doing out there. You know, cab companies now are starting to take the bull by the horns and actually doing what we, and I'm not saying it's because we suggested it, but what they are actually doing is now being good community citizens. Another instance in that is my friend down in Corpus Christi, who every Christmas, around Christmas, gives away a old winter beater you know, what we'd call a winter beater here. You know, it's a taxi, probably has probably about 300,000 miles on it.
Baby but car.
It has a new set of tires, and everything is cleaned up and untaxified. So yeah, so they give it to a deserving member there of the community.
Go. You just described what I gave my sister last year.
Well, no, yeah, really, there you go. That makes exactly.
I gave her one of my old vans since I was no longer going to need it. Cleaned it up. Had this one was practically new. It only had about 220,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And cleaned it up, drove it up to the Northeast, took the auto train. That's a whole nother story. And as far as I know, it's still running fine. So anyway, I interrupted there. But that's good news. Yay, we like that.
And one more feel-good story here.
Oh, this one I need to feel good. Please, I need this to push me over the top.
Here in St. Paul, actually, a driver, actually, she's this is a small company in St. Paul, probably, I don't know, maybe five cars if they're lucky, five or six cars. But a driver by the name of Cheryl Hansen. Now, she's the daughter of the late owner of All City Taxi there in St. Paul. Apparently had a passenger, could not. She was taking him from a venue somewhere to find his parked car. Poor 70-year-old guy couldn't remember where he parked the car. Couldn't remember which ramp here in St. Paul. And we're all about parking ramps in this city. Couldn't figure out
what's a parking ramp.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay. I have no clue. No, I don't.
You don't know. It is true. We have here in Minnesota, we have structures that are actually dedicated for parking. You know, you park.
A parking garage.
It's a ramp. Okay, come on. Get with the program.
It's a garage.
Anyways.
Brains are frozen. Like, continue. This is a great story. I read this.
So apparently what had happened was that she finally gave up, or he finally gave up. And, you know, and I got the story backwards. Actually, he was looking for his car, couldn't find it. Picked up Cheryl on a cab stand somewhere. She took him out to Wisconsin, out in Polk County, which is about an hour away from St. Paul. And she said, I will try to, in my spare time, I will try to find your car. He gave her the car keys. And after some time, she found the car in one of the local ramps here and brought it to him. That is what you call above and beyond. And,
it was good. I read the story. It's excellent job on her part. Excellent job finding that car in the parking structure or the parking garage.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Correct. Oh, man. So we got all kinds of non-taxi headlines here in Minnesota. Tina Smith now has been appointed to replace Al Franken. I don't know if anybody can replace Al Franken.
When he leaves.
Yeah, when he leaves. I think he's probably going to wind up actually resigning first week in January is what I'm hearing here. Her name is Tina Smith. She is the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. It's actually started a little bit of a fire, if you will, here, because now once the lieutenant governor is gone, now I believe it's the president of the Senate or something like that here in Minnesota that actually assumes the role. Well, the president of the Senate is a Republican. So Dayton is fighting that. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Sounds like you'll need a box of popcorn to watch that one.
Pretty much. Metro Transit here in Minnesota.
Boo.
Did you see this story?
I read it. You mentioned it. I looked at it. Boo.
This bothers me because normally, you know, I'm very pro labor. Very pro-labor here, but the transit workers here in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, are talking about going on strike during the week of the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's not the story I was thinking of, but go.
No, they're talking about going on strike during that week, and it isn't about money. It isn't about other money or benefits or anything like that. They're talking about safety. Now, they one of the things they want is they want to have a shield installed so the driver is kind of like in a plexiglass fishbowl while he's driving his bus. Just a quick comment on that. The people that you are going to be affecting during any kind of a transit strike aren't going to be the ones that are going to be attending the Super Bowl. Yeah, they might use the light rail, only because they designed our rail system here to revolve around the Minneapolis sports venues, U.S. Bank Stadium, mm-hmm. Target Center, Target Field, FECT buses. And who are the ones that are going to be taking the buses? The poor rubes that still have to get back and forth to work in this community.
Now are they talking about striking the entire week?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm usually – well, I can go either way with unions. I grew up in a Teamster household. I am not against unions, but – I think sometimes they push it a little too far. Now, I understand you strike while the iron is hot, while you get the most attention. This is also the whole purpose of the kneeling during the national anthem. Every mm-hmm. one of these guys could be taking a knee in the locker room, but it would get no attention. And yes. And I understand that part of it, but I also agree with you. Who are you affecting? The city of Minneapolis is going to wipe that egg off its face and move on. It's got the Super Bowl now. It's not kidding itself about the next time it will come up for a Super Bowl will be 10 years. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. And everything would have been forgotten by then. So you're really exactly. You're only hurting the, as you so kindly put it, who can't afford to put a car on a ramp, whatever the hell that is, and have to take the bus.
Oh,
I digress because it's a situation I know nothing about. It's in a different time zone, and it's cold. I don't care.
We can, of course, cover real quickly if you want to get into it about the whole thing with about the horse, the man and the horse.
You leave Sassy alone. Now, Sassy... Sassy, my goodness, that horse, this is Roy Moore's horse, by the way, if you're not familiar. Now, Sassy only did exactly what she was told to do, what he was told to do. He took that man in, he took him out. Now, everybody said to Roy Moore, screw you and the horse you rode in on. Well, what the hell did Sassy have to do with that? My God, leave Sassy alone. You want to pick on Judge Roy Moore or whatever the hell his name is, by all means, you have at it, that supercilious son of a bitch. But leave Sassy alone.
Poor Sassy.
Poor yes, Sassy. And that's all I got to say on that.
Oh. In Michigan.
I got one more thing I got to get out there. Before,
okay.
Where you're doing headlines. The whole show will be headlines if I don't stop you right now.
Oh, take a pill. I got a couple more things, and I promise you I'll wrap it up.
I have one thing to say. I understand that Trump, after he fired Omarosa, put her in an Uber pool. That's all I'm saying. That's what I heard.
Oh, yes. He, in WWE terms, they wished her well in her future
endeavors.
Endeavors. Thank you very
Bye.
Much.
Robin Roberts, I love her. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah,
Robin,
there you go.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish your headline, sir.
Michigan police are Michigan. Under fire for cuffing an 11-year-old girl and holding her at gunpoint. While supposedly they mistakenly thought that there was a murder suspect in this in the home where this young lady was, they cuffed this 11-year-old girl and had her held at gunpoint. Now, I can't tell you where in Michigan that was without actually clicking the link, and I really don't care to do that. The headline itself should invoke enough anger.
But once again, and I have mentioned this to you in the past, you have to go beyond the headlines because okay. Sometimes it is not as clear-cut. Now, handcuffing an 11-year-old girl, believe me, Sometimes it's a solid idea. I would also include a roll of duct tape to shut them up. But with the police and a gun involved, I'm sure there's a little bit more to the story. I'm sure it could be handled differently. But in the moment, we had a case down here just this week, a 94-year-old woman who got evicted from her apartment. She wouldn't leave, so the police came by. And she's nothing but skin and bones now. And she's got the handcuffs on. I swear to God, the handcuffs weigh more than she does. She was in an orange jumpsuit in a wheelchair. But you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, look, sometimes the police officers are faced with liability issues. Well, if I don't handcuff this one, then, you know, who knows? And anyway, let's move on.
And this one, the cherry on the cake, this one ought to get your blood pressure going.
Oh, good.
I just found this yesterday. An Uber driver charged with raping a 16-year-old passenger.
Oh, no. Way to go to really uplift the day. Thank you. That's
you're welcome. You are absolutely welcome.
I can't. Gilchrist save me. Gilchrist save me.
Oh, my. And yeah, that's.
There's more? You can't end on a high note like that?
No, I'm sorry. I can't. I have nothing more to give.
Well, I'm saying you're ending on a high note. Yay.
Yes, exactly.
My goodness.
Well, I just wanted to make your day, you know?
Oh, and you did. You did.
Oh, what do you say before we go through that pick your brain segment here? Do you want to do Ed versus the spread, or you want to wait a little bit on that?
I don't know that I ever want to talk to you again. That was just a poor way to.
I am kind of an evil bastard that way.
And in that way, you were. That was just not pleasant. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here it is, the moment you've all been waiting for. It's Ed versus the Spread, our weekly look at the NFL and how to stay very, very poor while picking football games. I'm sorry, repeat that, sir?
At least in your case.
At least in my case, yes. So, John's going to see how he did here without me. I said last week, I said indubitably that I would go 3-0. Well, did I say me? No, I'm sorry. It was John that went 3-0 last week. Son of a bitch. Really getting old. It is really getting old.
Well, I mean, where is your whip sound effect?
I don't have it up. Just leave it on. Anyway, he went 3-0. I went 2-1. It's the best damn week I've had in a month. And I had a pretty good week overall, if I can find it. I went 10-6 last week overall. I mean, I'm sorry, 8-8. I'm looking at the wrong week.
Good Lord.
it just sucks. It's horrible to be me right now. So anyway, so I went 2-1. And
overall standings now?
What's that?
What are the overall standings now?
You suck. That's the overall standings, okay? You suck.
It looks like now you're at 17-22, and I'm at 24-15.
Yeah, yeah. I only got a couple of weeks to make this work. Believe you me.
You are out of contention as far as...
there will be rule changes in the upcoming weeks. Anyway, so we're not going to make it easy for you this week.
Mm-hmm.
So your first game, Houston, getting 13 points at Jacksonville.
I don't think Houston can cover that spread. I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Jacksonville with the Jaguars. Yep. The New York Jets versus the New Orleans Saints. The Jets getting 15 points.
Good Lord.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with the dog on that again.
You're going to go with the dog, huh? Okay.
I don't think they're going to cover that spread.
And now finally, New England favored by 3 points at Pittsburgh. And remember, the Dolphins whooped up on them Patriots last week. It was a beautiful game to watch. Tom Brady didn't know if he was coming, going, or in between. It was a wonderful, wonderful game. The Dolphins won 27-20, and the score didn't indicate it was not nearly that close. So anyway, sir, so the Dolphins warmed up the Patriots. They got them punched, a little punch drunk. Pittsburgh getting 3 points at home against the Patriots. What say you?
Let me understand this again now. So Pittsburgh is a three-point favorite, or New England's a three-point
favorite? New England's the three-point favorite.
I'm going with Pittsburgh.
All right. Yeah. All right. So Uncle Ed is taking the tough games, the tough picks this week.
Oh, my God. You talk about melted marshmallows here.
There you go. So we're taking those San Francisco 49ers, giving up 1 point against Tennessee. We're taking those L.A. Chargers, getting a point in Kansas City. That's a division game, and Kansas City has been sucking wind lately. And then finally, I do believe, what's his name is back this week?
Yes, Aaron Rodgers will return.
So Green Bay getting 2 points at Carolina. I like that. I like that. So there you go, kids. That's your picks for this week. John's going to lose incredibly this week. There will be rule changes next week because this just has to end.
So before we...
I'm not done. Hold on. I want to point out that overall, I have like a 60%... Traditionally, over the years, I've done this for 15 years now, picking games against the spread. I'm like 62% winners. However, I take three games out of 16 every week, and I keep taking the ones that I lose. And I think you're cheating. I don't know how you're doing it, but I'm convinced you're cheating.
Well, I wonder if it's like Mother Nature cheating in that game last week between Buffalo and Indianapolis. Buffalo.
I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of that game. I heard about it after the fact.
I saw enough of it to. I love watching games like this. I realize that would have sucked hard if that was a game that meant anything in the grand scheme.
Oh yeah.
But oh my God! And so I happened to notice that the Colts were playing the Denver. The Denver Broncos in nice climate controlled whatever Lucas Oil Field or whatever it's called, and
Lucas Oil Products, very good products by the way.
I can't imagine that the Colts could be any happier to be inside that building after playing in a foot of snow.
Buffalo. Yeah, I love those snow games. I love those games where guys got to come out and sweep out so they can see where the yard lines are. And
I think they actually gave up on that after a while.
I only saw a couple of highlights from the game, but I don't even know from which team. But somebody got the ball and he was running. But you could see the snow was so deep. You know, we've all run in snow when we were kids, and you know, good for them. Good for them. They put up with.
We never played tack football when we were kids because most of the time we played on asphalt surfaces. When you'd have a foot of snow on the ground and then you'd go out in the backyard and play. Now that was fun.
No. What we did was we always played two hand touch. I was in Midtown Manhattan. We were nothing but asphalt until it snowed. Now when it snowed, we played tackle. Now mind you, it only had to cover the sidewalk. believe you me, we played tackle football with just a dusting of snow. But it was snow on the ground, and that's what counted. Yeah. And it's amazing we didn't kill each other. Let's move on now.
Okay, so I have been wanting for weeks now to just kind of pick your mind here when it comes to... And so I have all the tools here. I have the...
Go ahead.
I have the tweezers and the microscope ready. Uh-huh. Sorry.
No!
But, because I've been... I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't uber curious. I want to know, what is the attraction? Why would somebody, especially if they'd been in the taxi industry... And I understand your circumstances there. well, in you know, with your old company and what have you. Mm-hmm. I can't understand what would make somebody want to go to that side of the world if they have any taxi driving experience.
Well, I can answer that question right away. Oh, okay. If they have any driving experience.
Yes.
Well, if you have any driving experience, if you know anything at all about the business, you stop and think, okay, so now I'm not paying permit fees and licensing fees and all that. And in the case here in the state of Florida, there's no inspections, there's nothing. It costs you nothing to get up and running. And I've seen many, many cars, enough cars with out-of-state tags operating. But so you've driven a cab for a while. You're fed up with the way the company is treating you. Mm-hmm. And you're paying them more than you're making for yourself. So you think, okay, let me give this a shot. Now, it wouldn't take long to realize you're not hardly making anything at all. Because you're doing days where everything is $3 and $4, and you're putting 120, 130 miles on the car. Some guys don't care. Some guys are, you know, well, as long as I'm away from the cab company, I don't have any, you know, I don't have to abide by anything. I passed Uber's stringent, strict, and by the book background check, and
yes,
but. Oh, as I've explained to many, many people, well, I'll let you ask the questions. Go ahead. I could go on. I've got a whole shtick, but you go right ahead.
Well, okay. So now when you talked to me, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about you had a couple of $25, back-to-back $25 runs. Now, was that the $25 that the customer's being charged, or is that the $25 that you're seeing at the end of
pocket. That's what I'm getting. And I will look it up now and I will tell you what it is the customer paid. But while I'm digging that up, that's my take on it. And again, those would have been easily $50-$60 taxi jobs. Easily. Mm-hmm. And one of them was on a little bit of a surge too. Not a great surge, but a surge nonetheless. And keep talking, John. I'm looking this up.
Okay. While he's looking that up, what I think that it is with a lot of the Uber drivers. Now, I'm sure you've taken this into consideration, which puzzles me as to why you're doing Uber. Now, you said you put 120 miles on the car to make that. Now, you would think with 120 miles, that's not so bad. I mean, you know, that's kind of a bad day for me if I only put on 120 miles.
But if you were only clearing $100 out of it?
Well, yeah, this is true, I suppose. But the clearing, I mean, there is still, even at 120 miles, you're still having the wear and tear on the vehicle.
Oh, right. Doesn't matter what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. By the way, just so you know, the first of those rides, I netted 23 and changed, and the customer paid 35. And the second one, the customer paid 33, and I got 24. So.
And so what you're saying is that, and those would have been easily 50 plus dollar rides.
Easily. Easily. The one ride from Fort Lauderdale Beach out to the big mall, the Sawgrass Mills Mall, I've done that ride countless times. And it runs. Actually, the Uber rate for the passengers is getting close to the taxi fare. Now, remember, that one had a little bit of a surge on it.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little bit extra. On a normal day, I would have gotten $18. Something like that, $18, $19. You know, and it's, as I explain to people when they say to me, well, why do you do it? Well, it's fill-in work.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have, we've talked about this many, many times here, if I didn't have my personal customers, I would be out of the business. You cannot survive on Uber alone. So anyway, let's move on.
Just as a footnote to that, I know a guy that went to the dark side. I think I've mentioned this myself. He went to the dark side, but he did have a shit ton of customers.
And that's the only way you make it. That's the only way you make it.
And this is what ever worries me about this business is that I have, for as long as I can remember, have always been a company guy. Part of it is it always seems like your regulars that you acquire always seem to want you when you are on the other side of town.
Right. You're not incorrect, but I'll stop you there. And again, I've mentioned this before. My business, my customers, it's all reservations. Mm-hmm. Every now and again, we'll get a phone call. Hey, Ed, are you available? I need to go pick up my car or whatever. You know, if I can help them, I do. But for the most part, 99% of my stuff is reservations. We're flying out on Thursday. Can you pick us up at 10 o'clock? We're coming in Tuesday night. Here's the flight information. So it's no surprises for me. And I know I had a day this week. I took a couple of Uber jobs to fill in the blanks for a total of $12. I did $250, and it was all my work and work from a friend of mine. So
that always helps to be networked like that.
Absolutely. And again, my situation is, I won't say unique, but different than most other guys. You have to remember, in my particular case, I'm coming in with a wealth of knowledge about how to maintain my vehicles, what I can expect out of my vehicle. My vehicle right now, I love my car. I've got a 2012 Chrysler Town & Country, brown leather interior. It's beautiful. She needs some loving. There's a little knock in the engine, which we are aware of, my mechanic and I. About once a week, I have to put coolant in. She's at about 252,000 miles right now. She's running fine. She needs a little love. Honestly, it could use a paint job.
Okay.
But I can get solid 3 more years out of this if I invest $3,000 in it. I can get easily another 3 years out of it. But again, I know how to maintain my vehicles.
So how many miles do you think you put on your vehicle in a year's time? You should probably know
Well, I know since I bought it with just a hair under 50,000 miles. So I've put over 200,000 transportation miles, as I like to call them. Now, it was mostly taxi miles. Say what?
In how many years' time?
How long have we had that? Two and a half years.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, remember, I always had 2 guys driving it, but now Jack, who has been with me for a long, long time, he left the company, and he likes to come out early in the morning. I always used him as my day driver because he's a guy that's done, he's not out driving at 11 o'clock in the morning. He's done. He's done. So he's giving me a little something every week. He takes it, he handles all the morning work. He does a little Uber himself, not too much. He's retired. He's got his Social Security. He's got all that. So what he gives me every week basically covers my insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, he gives me $75 a week to use the vehicle, $10 a day. And actually, I haven't dropped that at my mechanics every Monday, because eventually I'm going to have to spend that money.
That is smart. That is incredibly smart.
Yeah, and my mechanic appreciates it because it's a little extra. You know, he's got dough. You know, he's got cash in hand if he needs it. And of course, look, in a couple of weeks, something will happen. Something always happens. And, I'm going to spend the money anyway, so I just have it go right there. And Jack drops it off to the mechanic every Monday morning, every Sunday night. And, but again, I'm different than your average Uber driver. But go ahead. Let's finish. Uber curious, as you like to say.
One of the things that the other thing that's made me interested is because a lot of times these rides I get, I'd have to say at least half of what I do is, well, let me go even further with that. About 90% of what I do, somebody else is paying the bill, quite frankly. And that's kind of probably the only thing that's keeping this company afloat is the fact that they have a shit ton of accounts. It is,
and I would embrace that. Do not embrace that. You're in a in this day and age right now, currently, you're in a very fortuitous situation.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Know, look, I'm looking at guys out there, guys I know still driving the cab, and I mean they're making a living. Excuse me, but they're fighting every day. It's a battle. And and everything has been so diluted. The pie hasn't been cut up into small slices. It's been smashed to crumbs.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm everybody and their grandmother is out there doing transportation these days. So anyway, let's move on. Let's come on, get into the meat of the matter.
Well, to that point is that even with the kind of rides we do, we have a lot of mom and pop type transportation companies. The only thing that we have as an advantage over them is sheer numbers. I mean, our company rolls out at any one given time, anywhere between 250 and 350 cars on the street.
Right. You can cover the work, and that's that's what attracts these accounts to you is that, okay, we know the work will be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you break down, we've got 200 other cars that can do the job.
So what do you think about the class of your clientele? Now, I don't like to go into this whole classist mentality and whatnot, but one of the things that with all these rides that other people are paying, you know, they're quite frankly some passengers that it's kind of like trying to scrape either gum or dog shit off your shoe.
I will say this. I've been pleasantly surprised, but it also has a lot to do with the areas I work. For the most part, they're pretty decent people. It is amazing how many people, I guess it shouldn't be amazing, how many people are truly unaware of how this works and what is going on. But then it shouldn't be surprising because still most people believe every cab driver drives right back to the garage after every call.
That's so funny.
You know, so I will have these conversations with people and I always lay out there my previous experience. Oh, so, and usually it starts with the question, oh, so do you love driving for Uber? No. No, I don't. And then I explain why. And then I explain the insurance situation. And that gets people's attention. And I always end it with, you can look this up on your own. I just happen to be better educated about it because it's been a big part of my life for 4 years now. And I've also learned to start, I say this, I get off on a rant on this and people are like, I have yet to have somebody, they all say a version of this. No, 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 keep going. This is fascinating. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that means my business card gets handed out a little bit. And I tell people, look, I'm not saying this to generate your business. I will admit that when I'm out here, I'm looking to generate business. I want to take it back from Uber. Mm-hmm. But that being said, if you don't want to pay the rates, that's fine. I understand that. But just understand why it is you're not paying full rate. Because you're they're a slimy, sleazy company. And but people most of my customers, the Uber people, are pretty decent folk.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are assholes. There's no question about it. They are assholes. It's no different than the cab. Although the sense of entitlement has gone sky high through the roof. I give you an example. The first pickup I did yesterday, I came out of the house, I logged in, and I pick up three guys. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon. They were going to the bar, day drinking. Two of them were in town visiting, the third guy. So we're driving along. Now, yesterday was a warm day. It was about 80 degrees yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got the air conditioning on. And so the one fellow in the back, he wants to open the back window. And I always lock the windows. I keep control of everything because I am a control freak. He says, oh, I want to open the window in the back. I said, oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I got the air conditioning going, and, you know, that just defeats the whole purpose. And he says, well, we're paying for it. I said, you're not paying enough. for me to open the windows and lose my air conditioning.
People don't understand down there in Florida, which is a little different than up here. We up here, a lot of times I'll have the window open with the air conditioning on, even when it's incredibly hot outside here, which to us incredibly hot is about 85 degrees.
Yeah, baby.
But we don't have the humidity you guys have down in Florida. You open up a window, man, you're just like letting the soup in.
Well, it hasn't been humid. We're at a humid time of year, but he got a little pouty about that, but he wasn't even paying for the ride. So, but we do get that on a fair occasion. People expect. Oh, I had a woman earlier in the week, who I hope I never see again. Who her basic attitude was, we got to talking about the whole Uber operation, and she was one of these people that she's going to talk over you, and she's right, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was upset.
People.
She was upset. She thinks the Uber prices are still too high.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, ma'am, and she, by the way, she lived in a very nice building, one of those, believe you me, money was not an issue for her. And I said, well, you know, it costs a couple of dollars to operate a vehicle. You know, you've got to. She says, well, then you should get another job.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Have a good day. Rated her very low X, never to be matched with her again.
Oh. what people don't understand, too, is as far as Uber, Lyft, and even like buses and what have you, is that these rates are subsidized mm-hmm. like crazy. In the case of buses and what have you, they're subsidized by your tax dollars.
Yes.
You think your little $2 and a quarter or whatever it is you pay to go cross town on a city bus, you think your little fare is covering that. You're absolutely crazy.
And stop and think about how many times you'll see a bus with four people on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The same thing, with Uber and Lyft. They have investors that are basically subsidizing these cheap ass fares that you seem to love and whatnot.
Although, as I've been pointing out to people, Uber has quietly been raising their rates. Now, what they don't see, now the drivers will see a surge. Oh, it's 1.8. I was salivating last night. I got offered a 2.8 surge, a long ride, which it said 45 minutes plus, which meant it was probably going to Miami. Ooh, I got a stiffy like you wouldn't believe. And then it canceled. Damn it. Because that would have been better than real taxi rates. But they're not doing that with the customers anymore. It doesn't show you you're paying two times or 2.1. It just provides you a rate. It says, uh-huh. Here's your upfront price. Here's what you will pay. And people that use the service every day are noticing almost on a daily, if not hourly basis, it is different. Mm-hmm. Uber is slowly but surely. And I keep, this is what I say to people. Well, welcome to the club. They screwed the drivers since day one. Now they're bringing you aboard for the mass screwing. Mm-hmm. On a lot of the shorter rides, people are paying more than they would with a taxi.
Because most of the taxis out there don't have any type of an actual minimum fare other than the flag throw.
Yeah, but I am seeing people that are going short distances paying $7-$8 for an Uber ride that I know would be about 5 or 6 in a cab.
Yeah. Well, in Minneapolis, I know that Minneapolis has a $5 minimum. St. Paul has a $6 minimum. But I still say that that same $6, it would be at the very most a wash, as opposed with an Uber, as opposed to taking a taxi for these short rides.
But the point is that Uber is being very, of course, slimy and sleazy, and that they're not telling people that the rates are going up. They're just doing it, and this is how they operate. There's a lot of things that Uber could be doing. We just got an email. They want drivers to apply to be part of the driver's advisory board. They're going to fly drivers out to San Francisco twice a year to talk about what can be improved. Well, first off, they'll never make it to the second meeting because the company will be gone. Remember, Uncle Ed says that, Halloween. Third off, they know everything that needs to be resolved at this point. Yeah,
they're not stupid.
They know everything.
Some drivers think that they actually
have some say.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's a joke in itself.
Because I go through on a daily basis the pin drops, where people are, the GPS shows them in one place, the address, if it's a valid address at all.
That's funny in its own right.
And I got this one the other day, 2-98.
What?
No street. No street. Just 2-98. 2 through 98. It gives you a range on a block. And I try to, whenever I see this, I explain to people, look, if I find them at all, look, don't use current location. Put in your exact address. Some people fight me on it. Well, that's Uber's fault. Fine. Fuck it. You know, do you keep getting canceled on? Yeah, they can't find me. Well, that's why they can't find you. I go through. Here's the thing.
They say it's Uber's fault.
Yeah.
But okay, do you want to ride or not? Yeah. Do what you do your part to get the goddamn ride.
That's my point. And what I do on these rides, I will send them a text. That's a bad address. Send me a proper address. The guy last night that went out to the mall, twice I texted him. He finally found me. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you see my text messages? He says, oh, yes. I said, you didn't think to respond? He says, no, I didn't see a reason why.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. You know, that, and they cry and complain that they get charged $5 for a no-show fee. And I've become like the king of the no-show fees. I will park right there. I will park right there where the GPS says. Usually it's completely different from the address. And sit, tick, 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 give me my $375, I move on. It is the best scam I've ever... It is the biggest difference between this and the taxis. How many... And I've said to a couple of people over the phone, this is for all the years that people like you just disappeared. You know, I'd get a call, you show up, and it's like, oh, they walked away. Fuck you, guy, we don't need you anymore. You know, so this is my payback. I'm getting mine back. If you can't have the common decency to be outside, I get this happen at private homes. I'll sit outside for 5 minutes. Tick, tick, tick. Cancel if they haven't been here. Bing.
Well, and it's funny because down there, there should be no excuse why you can't be waiting outside for your ride.
No.
Absolutely none. I understand.
It's got nothing to do with the weather. It is all about, remember, we get inclement weather here. It rains, it's hot, it's this, that, and the other thing. Would it kill you to look out the window?
Well, this is true.
I ordered a car. So let me see. I just ordered a car that I expect to be here in a couple minutes. So let me lay down and take a nap.
Yeah.
And this is, I live on the 28th floor. So let me, I'll take my time going downstairs. My favorite is this, to get the call of the text that says, I'm on my way to the elevator now. Good for you. You got 2.5 minutes to get here. Because the Uber app has a little clock on it when you can cancel it. And the first 2 minutes you're there, you're waiting for free. The next 3 minutes, you're getting paid waiting time, which is baloney. It's like 9 cents a minute. But after that total of 5 minutes, you can then hit the cancel, get paid, and move on your way.
One more thing before we split here. Have you been able to figure out yet how they actually dispatch cars there?
I don't think they've been able to figure it out, to be quite honest. It's...
I don't get it. I do not get it at all. How they can determine? Are they using closest call? Do they give any priority to some of the guys that are actually? And I can't hear what it is that you're playing there. By the way, there we go. That's a little better.
There you go. Well.
Hey, you know what? This actually sounded a little bit more like a big-time professional radio.
Well, we'll see when we play it back.
All right, my friend. This is for my good buddy, Ed Van Ness. I'm John Shannon. Let's say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick. See ya!
Bye-bye.